Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
So Tiki was there yesterday. You heard him broadcasting the abomination of a football game known as the New York Jets finding a new way to stomp on our soul. The crowd was very ornery. And you even said, we played the clip, Tiki's like, yeah, Jets are earning these boos, man. They're earning every one of them. Because the Jets, yeah, they were earning the boos. I mean, when you put together five consecutive three and outs or four and outs in one case, and you're that bad offensively, and you're trailing the Indianapolis Colts early in this game, like, yeah, they're earning every last boo.
Yep.
But one thing that happened that I thought was fascinating was that Sauce Gardner made a tackle, and the crowd responded, and you guys called it with a quote-unquote Bronx cheer.
Yeah.
Okay? I think that was obvious to all of us that Sauce, because Jet fans are good fans, we remember everything week to week, we were sarcastically cheering Sauce making a tackle.
It was a good tackle.
It was a fine tackle, but they were doing it because of the sarcasm of a week earlier.
Right.
Listen to Sauce Gardner after the game and tell me if he's playing along or he's that clueless.
Obviously, you know, the fans was all, they was all in it. You know, they had their moments, you know, where they got a, I even got a standing ovation off a tackle. I was just like, seriously? You know, but, you know, they just so passionate about the Jets and about what we do. And we know that, but we just got to find ways, to win.
Sauce, we appreciate that you know that we're, you know, very passionate, but bro, there's no way he knew what was going on based on that comment.
No, of course not.
I mean, he thinks he got a standing ovation for a tackle.
But he's not from New York, so he doesn't get it. Like, it's okay. He's young. It's only his third year, so he's still figuring out, like, when they're actually cheering you and when they're not cheering.
Do you think someone informed him after he made that comment? No, hey, Sauce, it wasn't about passion. It was that they're angry with you?
I doubt it. Or was he being sarcastic and he knew?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that sounded like sarcasm.
He's a genuine kid, so I don't think he's trying to play games or anything like that.
Interesting. Because it would be
he
funny.
Just doesn't know. He's not from here. Hasn't been around Jet fans or New York fans long enough to understand what they're actually doing.
You got to play football both collegiately and professionally all over the country, right?
Yeah.
Clearly, it's just Tiki Barber. Is that a New York thing, though? The mock cheer?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that would never happen in Green Bay. Ever.
Hmm. All right, good for us having some.
Maybe in Detroit. Detroit.
Philly happens. It's an East Coast thing. I wouldn't even say it's a New York thing. It's a Northeast thing.
All right.
Yeah, I think Philly,
right.
Boston.
Okay, so that would be the first time that
wouldn't happen
really
in Tampa. It wouldn't happen in Atlanta.
Wow.
Carolina. Wow. No, it's a Northeast
thing.
It's a Northeast thing.
It's a sarcastic, we're not happy you did it. We're more like, thanks for doing it.
Right.
You should have done it last week. That's what we were saying, Sauce. Just so you know, it's not that we're desperate to cheer anything. It's that you made a tackle and we're thinking, boy, if you tackled McBride a week earlier, maybe the results are different. Aaron was hearing it too, man. On those opening drives, oh my God. Aaron was hearing it, and rightfully so. Like, I'm not a booer. I always talk about that. But if I went to yesterday's game, I didn't. I had to sell them. And by the way, I mean, I basically gave them away because Jet tickets are not the hottest thing in the world. But once they flexed out of Sunday night, I was just unable to go.
Right.
Family commitments. But if I was at that game, I would have had major urges to boo in the first quarter of this game. Because with the offense being as inept as it looked.
The first quarter and a half?
Quarter and a half of this game, yes. Basically the entire first half until the very, very tippity end when they showed a little bit of a pulse, I had an urge to boo. That final drive when Breece Hall got in the end zone for a touchdown. So I get why Jet fans are doing it, but unfortunately, the Jets don't understand what we're doing. Sauce thinks he was just, they're very appreciative.
He's a young kid. Leave him alone. He's fine.
Wait, if you were in that locker room and you heard that clip and you're very keen on what's going on.
Am I a vet or am I a young kid?
Now, you're veteran Tiki Barber.
Yeah.
Do you put your arm around them and say, Sauce, I just want to let you know that they were being sarcastic?
No, I just let them be naive.
Live in the naive world.
It's all good.
Okay. Let's go to Bob in Freehold, New Jersey. How are you, Bob? Hey, Bob.
How you doing?
What's up?
Hi. Two things I was going to say is I've been getting calls from like the Jets, you know, ticket sales, and they're asking me about, you know, going to a game, and I was going to ask them how much they were paying for me to go. And the second one was their Instagram page. I was curious because I saw how they were giving away jerseys and stuff like that to the WWE guys, and I called them up a couple of years back when, you know, for the fan of the year, and I wanted to nominate my father because, you know, my father was one that unfortunately made me a Jet fan. But he had season tickets from when they went to Shea, and I told him how my dad had season tickets from when they first started Shea. He had them all those years. He was a World War II vet. And the person on the phone told me he wasn't eligible because due to the fact that he was in his 90s, he wasn't able to walk across the entire football field on his own.
Oh, that's unfair.
I'm like, that's not how you treat someone like
yeah, that's not fair. Yeah. I mean, of course he should be eligible. In fact, he should probably go to the top of the list
right.
because he's seen so much.
Right.
He's seen more pain than me. He hasn't seen as much as Joe because Joe's seen it all, and so has your 97-year-old father. But, yeah, that sucks, man. I mean, look, I don't know if that's really a thing or if that's one person that probably gave you a bad answer.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I'm always careful about when it comes to guys or gals that are selling tickets right. or part of an organization. That doesn't mean that that's what the Jets feel. It right. may have just been one person.
Right, it's a big organization. And there's a lot of salespeople on all these teams.
No, and I got to tell you, so the Jets season ticket renewal date is now. Like, literally, it's right now. And I feel bad. As bad as I feel for all of us as Jet fans, I feel bad for the person that works in the ticket agency that has to send those emails like I just got and say, hey, you got to renew. Because it's not their fault Sauce Gardner can't tackle.
Right.
It's not their fault Aaron Rodgers is a fraud. It's not their fault this team's bad.
And by the way, a lot of them, they're aware of what's going on with the team, but they're thinking about this as a job.
Right.
Like, it's their job to get you to buy tickets. It's not their job to figure out why Jeff Ulbrich called timeout.
But
on fourth down,
you're 1,000% right.
Instead of taking the penalty.
And I agree with that. But yet, my dad used to be like this too with the Mets. He still will take out his anger about the teams with the person because he can't call up Woody Johnson or Fred Wilpon.
True.
So your only way of doing it.
But how are you getting answers from someone who doesn't know the details?
You're letting out your anger. That's all you're doing.
Yeah,
you're not getting
that's
answers.
That's unfair to the Jet season ticket seller.
Of course it is. But a lot of things in life are unfair and make no sense. Mm. But, like our last caller said, he wanted to respond by, how much are you paying me to go to the game? Now, the reason you want to do that is because you're disgusted and you're pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, I am renewing with the New York Jets. I am.
Really?
And I have my reasoning. So last year, in late August, or it was July, I guess, when I decided to become a Jet season ticket holder, I had to make a big decision. I wanted to be in the first row of the upper level.
Yep.
And the best that they had 50-yard line was the second row. But I had a decision. I could go second row 50-yard line or first row more like the 10-yard line. And ultimately, I decided to go second row 50-yard line upper level.
Yep.
Okay? Made the decision. My thought is, when a team sucks and a team is bad and they're alienating all their fans, that's the time to get the seat you want. So my thought is, I'm hanging in there because somebody is giving up their 50-yard line first-row seats, and Evan's going to scoop in and get it.
That makes sense.
All right.
Does that not make sense?
I can actually see that.
Thank you.
You still have to prepare yourself for the bath. And this is the other thing. When Evan, old Uncle Evan's looking to reach.
Unless you just go more.
Yeah, okay. Just go.
It is a weekend. It's not like Net games or Mets games where half of them are during the week.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And you just can't go.
There's too many of them. That's the thing. Right. It's not even that it's during the week. It's that there's 81 Met home games.
True.
And 40 basketball.
I think Tiki's right, except for the fact I'm going to place a little wager. Evan doesn't go to more than two. Also,
Jet games.
Yeah, resale value.
Well, first of all, there's only eight. So going to two is going to 25% of games, which is pretty much the clip I go to with the Nets.
Right. The problem for the Jet season ticket holder, making the statement, three of their home games are the Browns, Falcons, and Panthers, not exactly road crowds that travel.
No, you're right. In terms of like
reselling. Yeah, you do get a Steeler game.
Well, that's a big one. And I informed the guys this because I don't think Tiki and Sean and Loogie were thinking about it. Based on how this season ends, we may get a bonus Jet-Giant game next year.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Jets and the Giants' extra NFC game, remember we have a 17-game schedule, is against that division.
Yeah, it's the East.
So it's the East. So the extra game is against the team that finishes in the same place as you, in the Giants' case, the AFC East, and in the Jets' case, the NFC East. So if the Jets and Giants both finish in last, we have a Jet-Giant game next year with the Jets as the home team.
You know what? Little late November, Cam Ward versus Jordan Travis. I'm there.
I mean, that could happen. So that's something to keep an eye on. But it's not about resale. It's about, like, think about it. If you're a season ticket holder or you want to be a season ticket holder and you have a specific seat, the time where tickets are going to become available is when a team is down.
Yeah.
Same if you're a Giant fan. Like, if you were thinking, Sean, about becoming a Giant season ticket holder.
I'm not.
I would do. Why not?
Why not?
You're a big fan. You go to a lot of games. Why not?
Yeah, because I don't want to spend every Sunday taking 3 hours to get home on the George Washington Bridge. If I lived in Jersey, sure.
Fraud Giant fan take?
Yeah.
Yeah,
fraud.
I get you.
Excuse me?
Sounds like you're a fraud Giant fan.
Yeah.
I just don't live close enough to the Meadowlands.
I don't live that close to the Meadowlands either.
It's just one day.
It's one day.
It's eight games.
It's eight games.
It's eight weekends.
Eight weekends. Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah, you're right.
But this is the year. This is the time to get in because people are giving up. And when they're giving up, good seats become available. See, this thing on my head is not just a hat rack.
Right.
It's got a little brain attached to it.
Isn't there a train?
There is, and look, there's few things worse than after losing 40-10 than packing in like a sardine at Secaucus.
Yeah, right. So that's just not convenient.
They need to add more space.
The train is a debacle.
Yeah.
Debacle.
And they put that in for the Super Bowl, correct?
Among other things, and just overall when the stadium got built, that was part of it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's good that we
remember them promoting it during the Super Bowl.
Well, it's great that you have at least that as an option.
And even so if nobody drove to that Super Bowl. I remember the parking lot was like a ghost town.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Really?
Because everybody took the transportation.
It was like that. I did that for the stadium series as well.
See, I remember hearing, especially after WrestleMania, that the trains were a debacle and it took people like 6 hours to get home.
Right.
It's just a loading on process at the Meadowlands because it's one track that you're loading on and
gotcha. You're
packed in like that. You could wait an hour before even getting on a train.
Yeah, I get you.
That's miserable.
You're listening to WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station. Joe B, who usually joins us at 4, will join us a little bit later today at 4:30. So we'll get his reaction to the Jet soul-breaking debacle that was their loss to the Indianapolis Colts coming up in just about a half hour. We've also spent a lot of time on Tommy DeVito. He is officially the QB1 for the New York Football
Tommy!
Giants. The end of the Daniel Jones era is upon us. Let's get back to your telephone calls. Let's go to Ozzie in Woodridge. What's up, Oz?
The Wizard of Oz was summoned. Hum, diddy, hum, hum.
Hum, diddy, hum, hum.
Both Tommies are not the future.
I think that was more.
Ozzie,
I think you're channeling the guy from Pee Wee Herman.
No, it's Sean when he met the Yankee Ghoster in the World Series.
I know, but it sounds like the Pee Wee Herman guy.
Oh, does it?
I forget what his name is.
That's where Sean got it from, apparently.
Big Pee Wee Herman doc coming this year to Max, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. What else, Ozzie? Who else you want to mock?
Both Tommies are not generational talent. Hum, biddy, hum, hum. Both Tommies pretty much live with their mommies because Loogie's wife puts his tank tops in a bin and gives him an allowance based on his behavior and obedience. Hum, diddy hum, hum. The Jets' hope is dead, just like Loogie and his selfish self-promotion positivity gimmick. Hum, diddy hum, hum. I warned you, Evan, that the false prophet Loogie was the kiss of death. Hum, diddy hum, hum. All hail the tubby tank Morash and his push for the tank altogether.
Hum, diddy hum, hum.
Oh, shut up.
That was one of Ozzy's better phone calls, I have to admit.
The last great phone call he had like this, he did the hum, diddy, hum, too. I think he should stick with that.
That should be his gimmick.
Yeah.
Every time he calls in, he gives us a hum, diddy, hum, hum. Yeah, so for those who missed it, during the World Series, to try to offset the Fat Joe jinx of the New York Yankees, when the Yankees were attempting to come back 3-0,
it worked.
Sean tried to summon the Yankee ghost, and yeah, for one game it worked, yeah.
One game in five innings, and then Fat Joe appeared on the Jumbotron and ruined it.
Ruined the whole thing. He got one game and five innings out of it, and it all went to hell. Let's go to John in New Jersey. How are you, John?
Doing fine. It's that time of the year for us Jet fans to start thinking about next year. And my question is, I don't hear too many sports guys talking about this kid from Florida State, the quarterback.
Jordan Travis is who you're talking about.
Now, what's his deal? Is he going to be able to play next year, and do you think he could be a good one?
Well, I mean, it's hard to know if he's going to be a good one. Obviously, he played at Florida State. They were undefeated 2 years ago or two seasons ago. He got hurt, broke his
leg
and dislocated his ankle. So it was a pretty bad injury. And they got left out, despite winning the ACC, of the college football playoff. Then obviously it was only four. But I think the jury is still out for him. So early on in his career, because I actually called one of his games early in his career.
Really?
When I was doing college radio for Compass Media Networks. He's a good player. Like, he's got this energy about him. Not dissimilar to Tommy DeVito, right? The way that he is just a creator, right? He just creates.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be exciting. But I don't know what his upside is. It's like he wasn't highly, like, sought after last year.
Yeah, he was projected before the injury to be like a third round a flyer on
pick. Right, he's a flyer pick, which, by the way, which is what he became. He was
a fifth round pick.
Fifth round.
He was a fifth round pick because you knew he wasn't going to contribute, if at all, this season.
Probably not for 2 years if you're the Jets because of the quarterback circumstances that you found yourself in. And so, like, I just don't know what to expect from him until you see him in an NFL preseason game.
He's very mysterious because you just don't hear anything.
No.
So all we know, and you went through some of the facts on him, is that he had a very good college career. Mm-hmm. He started 49 games in college, so he has a lot of experience.
Yep.
He got hurt devastatingly towards the end of the 2023 season. He was projected, again, what do projections mean? Like Sean said, as a third-round pick. They got him in the fifth round. And you never hear anything about him. Because I got a newsflash for you. If Jordan Travis was healthy, like he was healthy and he was practicing, I'd be coming on the radio probably starting right around now to say, take Aaron Rodgers and bench him. Let me see what I got. It's the same thing we've been talking about with the Giants case. Like, once your season is over, I'd rather find out what I've got. The problem is with Jordan Travis is I don't think he's recovered enough. I don't even know if he's around the facility. I mean, I'd love to get some kind of update on him. What's his status? What is he doing?
We were there last week, obviously, for practice, and he wasn't practicing. So I think he's on, let me check. I think he's on IR. Yeah, he's still on IR.
Yeah.
Eligible for elevation out of IR. But that's obviously not going to happen. So, I mean, their quarterbacks are Tyrod Taylor, who is the backup. And then there's another quarterback on the practice squad, and I'm forgetting who it was. Oh, Adrian Martinez. The kid from Nebraska that felt like he was there forever.
Yes.
Right. So even though he ended up playing someplace else as well.
Kansas State, maybe?
Wait, played in the preseason. I do remember that.
Yeah. But so there's another practice squad quarterback that's, I don't want to say ahead of him, but whatever.
I don't really care about him.
Kansas State was a place.
Can Jordan Travis be a part of the future plans at quarterback?
I don't know.
The question is, what do the Jets think of him?
Well,
where is his recovery?
What
do they think of him?
Forget the recovery. It's a project, but you also need someone to do that.
What do you mean?
Like, who is grooming him into a potential?
Well, they already have a guy under contract in Tyrod Taylor. I mean, the Jets have
No. I mean, from a coaching standpoint.
Oh.
This goes back to if you have a young quarterback,
right.
You have to put him in a situation where there's the right quarterback coach, there's the right offensive coordinator. You bring him along the correct way. You teach him so that he has a real understanding of what he's being asked to do.
Yeah, that's unfortunate because we have no idea where the Jets are going.
You just don't know.
We have no idea.
Staff is likely to be different, and it's such a crapshoot right now. It's not even worth talking about.
Yeah, I mean, you would hope that he's a part of maybe the future plans, but so far for this year, he's not a part of this year's plans.
No.
Because otherwise, I'd be screaming on the radio, let's see this kid play. Let's see what we got. Throw him out there. Give him some experience. But he's been kind of a mystery since the Jets drafted him months and months ago. Joel is calling from Kearney, New Jersey. What's up, Joel?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Two quick Giants questions. In the event that that Tommy gets hurt, not that I'm wishing that he gets hurt, who is the backup quarter? Is it
Drew Lock?
Or is it Daniel?
It's Drew.
Drew Lock. It was revealed earlier today when Brian Daboll met the media that Drew Lock will be the backup and Daniel Jones is now the third quarterback. So they basically flipped 1 and 3 and kept 2 the same.
Okay. One other thing. Evan, like you said, that if the Giants do go 2-15 and Daboll does go, does Shane follow him as well?
I assume that they're connected.
It feels like they're tied, unlike a lot of other head coach GM situations in the NFL. They feel tied, and it's probably because they came in together. They were previous colleagues at Buffalo, so it was somewhat handpicked. And I'm not saying it's a package deal, obviously, but I would think it'd be very hard for Joe Shane to fire Brian Daboll.
Well, and I don't think Giant fans would approve of that. I asked that hypothetical last week. If you could only keep one,
right,
not that that's an option, who would you rather keep? And most Giant fans, I think, are open to the idea that Brian Daboll could be the quarterback whisperer, so they choose Brian Daboll. But I do think that 2-15 in your third year together is a tough thing to kind of survive. Now, you got to look at the last 7 games and say, do you think they're losing their last 7 mm-hmm. games? My gut tells me no. Like, I think they're going to find a way to win a game or two. Specifically, the New Orleans game jumps out at me. Even this game coming up on Sunday with Tampa. Like, I can see them winning that game.
Yeah, Tampa struggled the last few weeks. I mean, they started out hot. I think, what, they 4-2?
Yeah, they've lost four games in a row coming off their bye.
They're the only team that beat the Lions, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they were good. And then Chris Godwin and... I don't know if he's – I doubt either one of those guys are going to be back this season, which is a shame.
Sterling Shepard.
Right, Sterling Shepard. But without their top two wide receivers, it's Mike Evans. I mean, they're just a shell of what they were.
Yeah, so the Giants can win that game.
Yeah, of course
they can. It's not crazy. And I know as much as the Tankists want them to lose, if you also want to keep the administration, which I know people are mixed about, I don't know how you balance the two things.
Mm.
Like, it's a very tough thing to balance. Like – think back to when the Jets were doing their tanking a few years ago, and it obviously didn't work because they didn't end up with the number one overall pick. That coaching staff was dead men walking.
Right.
That was the Adam Gase, Greg Williams coaching staff. Like, we all knew the handwriting was on the wall, so it's very tough to do both of those things, to lose consistently, to get the pick you're dreaming of, and then remain positive that your coach is the answer.
That's why Thanksgiving's the important one. It's easy to hide a loss Sunday at 1 o'clock. It's not easy to lose to Cooper Rush with the whole world watching on Thanksgiving.
I want to see Trey Lance. When are the Cowboys going to make that move? I want to see what he's got. I want the Jets to get Trey Lance. I want to investigate. I want to see something different and kind of try to find a hidden gem. That's the problem that the Jets have right now at quarterback. Yeah. Their two options are Aaron Rodgers and Tyrod Taylor. And with all due respect to Tyrod Taylor, he's 36 years old.
Yeah.
He's a solid backup, but we already know what he is.
He's not your future. So if you're looking for future, which is kind of what the Giants are doing, not in that Tommy DeVito's going to be their franchise quarterback, but you just want to see future.
That's why I'm jealous of the Giants. Last week I was mocking you guys saying, hey, the Jets at least have a chance to make the playoffs. And they did. All that was true. It was all right in front of them, and then they blew it. It was all right in front of them, and then they, you know what, it all over the place. And I said the Giants had done. You got nothing. Now we got a little reversal. You guys have a young quarterback that you're going to watch, and maybe you can talk yourself into being the answer.
You ain't all right, buddy.
I have to watch a fossil with an ego who's going to tell me about health, basically, for the next 6 weeks. That's who I got.
But you get him twice, though. You get the McAfee spots in the game, so it's good.
I know. It's double the fun. Isn't it great?
It's awesome.
We'll come back with more of your calls. Joe B. will join us at 4:30. And on Friday, we had Sean give us a tank bingo for the Giants, like all the things you needed to root for on Sunday to help the Giants with the tank. We'll find out how they did. Like, was it a positive tank day for the New York Giants on Sunday? We'll find out. Evan Attiki on the Fan. Joe Beal join us in the next couple of minutes. Get his thoughts on what was a debacle yesterday at MetLife Stadium. The New York Jets dropping to 3-8, finding a new creative way to lose, this time to the Indianapolis Colts. Whether it was inept coaching or horrific defense, take your pick. The Jets do it all. Now, on Friday, Sean Morash laid out, as a Giant fan, what you should root for when it comes to tanking, since the Giants weren't playing any games and they're not making the postseason. He went through, it was very impressive, Sean, every single NFL game and said, this is what benefits the New York Giants. The only game that had no impact on the Giants' tanking and draft pick status was the Kansas City-Buffalo game. Now, you tell me how you did, because it feels like you did badly, because when I went to tankathon.com to check out the latest 2025 NFL draft order, the Giants went from picking number 2 to picking number 5. So yeah. It sounds like you had a very bad Sunday.
Yeah, the Giants became the first team to also lose on the bye week, is basically what happened. A couple things. First of all, Jacksonville stinks. Why they should even field a roster the rest of the year?
Well, it's Mac Jones.
Mac Jones gave up 52 points?
No, true, but the Detroit Lions are for real.
No, they are, but this is where, goes back to the Giants, they at least compete. That game is
insane. No, I agree with you.
Okay? That's a problem. The Titans basically barely got off the bus in that second half to the Vikings. The Vikings teased a little bit. And then the Raiders and Browns with their pathetic losses, too. But ultimately, really screwed the Giants more than anything.
Yeah.
What nobody's going to pay attention to. When Geno Smith ran in that touchdown to beat the San Francisco 49ers. Two teams trying to fight for the playoffs. Why did that matter?
Yeah, why'd that matter?
Because head-to-head is not a tiebreaker in the draft. The harder your schedule is what kicks you down strength of schedule-wise. So the Giants beat the Seattle Seahawks, but by the Seahawks winning that game yesterday, it makes the Giants' quote-unquote strength of schedule more difficult, sliding them down a peg and breaking a tiebreaker with the Raiders and Browns at 2-8.
Oh, wow.
So that's the key game?
Yes.
That's crazy.
That's huge. Because now that makes the Seattle game a harder schedule on the Giants.
So right now, as you sit here today at 2-8, there are four teams that are 2-8. Tennessee, Cleveland, Vegas, the Giants, and then, like you mentioned, that tiebreaker.
Right, by the
determines
way, all four of those teams, except for the Jags, right? Want a quarterback.
Well, and more on that, that's going to be a talking point.
Yeah, because they may want a quarterback. Who knows? But Jacksonville's 2-9.
Yeah.
So basically, if everyone continues to lose their games, they would be a part of that same grouping. But their strength of schedule is low. So do you have confidence right now as a tankist? Or are you worried that you're going to end up picking in a spot that is going to force you to either trade down or just not be able to take the quarterback of your dreams?
I'm worried because I think DeVito's going to win a couple games. Mm-hmm. I must admit. I am worried. But as bad as his draft class seems to be, I heard the same nonsense about Bo Nix, and he's got the Broncos playing well. So
threw four touchdowns the other day, Bo Nix.
He did.
I'm clinging to the straws here, all right? And I'll say this. If DeVito's going to win a couple games, he might as well win 8 and be the answer.
I don't shine shoes anymore.
Yeah. If you're going to win, just win all of them. Right. By the way, that's kind of like my opinion on Rodgers and the Jets the rest of the way. Just run the table and go 9-8. If you win two or three games or four games, you screw up where you're picking in the draft.
Right.
Now, I'm not like you. I'm not going to sit there ever rooting against them, but I also understand the grander picture.
No. Don't do that. Don't throw
do what?
I'm not like you. I'm not going to sit there rooting against them.
Well, I'm not like you. I never root against my own team. Even last year, that last game against the Patriots.
See, this is where you got to defend me a little bit. Right. How many times have I uttered the words in the microphone? As a fan, when I sit down and watch the game, I cannot actively root against my team. It is after the game is over.
Right. If they lose, you're happy with the result.
That's it. I'm not duration of the game rooting against them. They lose, I don't lose sleep over because it's a good thing.
I get that. That's how I've been with the basketball so far this year. Like, I want to win. I get pissed when they lose, and then I move on.
That because you said the same thing about the Nets last week.
Right, but I never root for them to lose, ever.
I don't think Sean's rooting
I'm telling you,
lose.
I'm not rooting for them to lose.
Yeah, but none of us believe you.
I'm putting on the clown makeup on Sunday versus the Bucks, and I'm going to sit there hooting all of 3 hours.
You going to the game Sunday?
No, I am not. But you'll be proud. I am going to do some extended Giants post-game coverage. I'm going to pop back off the bench because DeVito's starting, and you'll get me from 6 to 7:30 on the Fan on Sunday.
Well, I tell you, they got you guys working all these weekends. I even heard Sal over the weekend yesterday. I heard him during the Jet game for a second.
Yeah, how about that?
That's crazy.
Where are you? When are you doing yours?
I did it for 17 years. I'm done. I did Saturdays for 17 years.
I have a counter for this, but you're going to get mad at me.
What?
You work 3 hours a day, Monday through Friday. So you didn't even get the 20 hours on that Saturday, and you know I love you to death. But I've been hearing you say this forever. Yeah, and you work with our upcoming guest here, with Joe B, at a co-host for 3 hours.
So what are you saying? That during
you should have been
week,
working Saturdays!
During the week never really counted?
Yeah, it's a little different than us doing the five-hour show in the community and then doing the three. But you know what? You do, you.
That sounds really
lame. By the way, Tiki's doing a game on CBS. I'm doing Big Blue Kickoff Live every weekend already.
Oh, what am I doing? I did 2 Ricos this weekend.
By choice.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
And one of the Rico Bronias, which I advise you download and subscribe, we gave out our 2024 Mets Awards. It is the most panned Rico Bronia ever. And it's not because
what
of
do you
the
mean panned?
Pan people hate it.
Oh, hate it.
Now,
oh,
why do they hate it? Do they hate it because they didn't like the idea of an award show? No. Do they hate it because they didn't like some of the awards I handed out? No. They hate it because Pete Hoffman apparently was breathing and sneezing and coughing and burping into the microphone the entire time.
Did he not know he was doing this?
I didn't even know he was doing it. I've gotten so many emails of people complaining about Pete Hoffman. So Pete's going to have to publicly apologize to the Rico community.
You and Hoffman have become like the Budweiser frogs with your coughs and sneezes. You're just making a million noises throughout a podcast the whole time.
Listen, I'm trying to fight through it. At least I hide my cough. Apparently, he was just like burping into the microphone.
Wasn't that like a month ago?
What was a month ago?
When you were sick?
Well, I'm not sick anymore, but I still got this lingering cough.
Right, it was the same time. The same thing happened last year.
Yeah.
I feel like you had that cough for a month.
No, I know. It never ends, man. I actually went to the doctor a few days ago, and they told me it's normal. So, well, I'm sorry. You're all going to have to live with it. Mm-hmm. Joe B's Monday Football Call-In brought to you by Empire City Casino. Winners play here by Approved Oil. Lock in your low oil rate at freezetherate.com and by HL Gross Jewelers of Garden City. Yesterday, the New York Jets hit a new level of ineptitude. Joe, I mean, this franchise sucks. How are you?
Oh, they're a disaster. I mean, there's no other way to say it. I mean, yesterday was, you know, probably in a season of one brutal loss after another, I thought yesterday might have been the worst of all of them. I really did.
What made it so bad, Joe?
Well,
was it the fact that they weren't winning? They sucked at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, well, they didn't get a first down for what? But, 6 straight three and outs before they finally got a first
five
down?
Five of them. But then they got themselves in winning position. Right?
Here's where the game was lost, okay, as far as I'm concerned. They're up 24-22, and if you saw the Bill Chief game, Buffalo was in exactly the same position the Jets were in yesterday. A 4th-and-2, right around the 20-yard line, same thing, about the same time in the game and all of that. 24-22, 4th-and-2, I'm with my buddy Tommy Keenan watching the game. We are screaming, you have to go for it. You're 3-and-7. Don't play not to lose and kick the field goal. Go for it. Because even if you don't get it on 4th-and-2, you're going to lose the game anyway. I had no confidence in the defense. Remember, the defense, after they took an 8-point lead, and they should have went for 2 there as well, after they took an 8-point lead, went right down the field in like 5 plays for a touchdown. I mean, so why would I be confident that they were going to stop them this time? I knew they were dead. When he didn't go for it at 4th, and Rodgers wanted to go for it, and he somewhat, it seemed to me, threw Obrick under the bus a little bit after the game, you know, and he wanted to go for 2 as well when they went up, by 7, 23-16. So to me, that's where the game was lost. I knew the defense was going to give it up.
I
knew they were.
You nailed it because if they hadn't allowed the Bills to march down the field on the prior drive, maybe
Colts.
I would have been the Colts. What am I saying? The ball? Because I'm thinking of that Bill
Well,
Chief
Buffalo
game.
Did the same thing. Right. And they went for it, and Josh Allen ran 20 yards for a touchdown.
Now, and you're so right. It was the same. It was 4th-and-2 from the 25-yard line. It was basically the same situation.
Yep.
If the Jet defense had not allowed Anthony Richardson and the Colts to march down the field on the prior drive, I probably would have been more okay with,
kick
the field goal, keep him out of the end zone and win it. But that showed me I can't trust this defense to make a stop. Your only chance to win the game is to get a first down, bleed the clock, or score a touchdown.
That's it. And that was it, you know, and I knew they were going to lose. Look, I mean, there's so many things about this game that made you crazy. I mean, how about the fact, just think about this. The Jets had 2 penalties yesterday.
Yeah.
They didn't have, there was no penalties in this game in the first half on either team. They didn't get a penalty until the 4th quarter. Fastenew had that holding penalty, but I think they overcame it anyway and scored.
Yep.
They didn't turn it over. They have 2 penalties in the game that did not hurt them at all, yet they still find a way to lose. You know, Breece Hall has a phenomenal game, catching the ball, running, couple touchdowns, all of that. and they still find a freaking way to lose this game.
Right. I mean, no penalties, Joe, and no turnovers either.
Right.
Which is what's killed them recently. Now, the challenge for the Jets is, like, what do you want to even see going forward? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's the hard question for the Jet fan.
Well, I mean, you know, they still got six games.
I know.
I want to win some games here. I mean, I do. I mean, I'm tired of losing. It's the same old. And this right now, this season is on its way to be as bad, considering the expectations, considering Rodgers, you know, as bad a season as we've ever had. You know, right there with the Richie Kotite 2 years that he was here, and we won four games in 2 years. I mean, that's how bad this season is shaping up to be. They were a better team last year. Let's be honest.
Right. They were every which way. Like, I know the quarterback has played better than the quarterback play of a year ago, but the results are kind of the same. They don't score enough points.
Nope.
They don't take shots down the field ever. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I'm convinced, doesn't want to take shots down the field because he doesn't want to ruin his stats. He doesn't want to throw interceptions.
Is that what you think?
What other reason do you have then?
I don't know. I mean, but he's getting rid of the ball every pass he throws is this quick pass.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if I think that.
Yeah, I think the challenge.
I find that hard to believe.
How about the final drive of the game? And I understand there's 46 seconds left, no timeouts. He takes the sack with no timeouts left and the clock's running down. Throw the ball up. He got nothing to lose at that point.
That's a specific play. He needs it to develop, and he just doesn't have time. I think you're right, Joe. He is getting rid of the ball fast. But the thing that, like, going into this game, we have to do these, I don't know, storylines that we may talk about. And one of the storylines that we wanted to bring up was about his lack of connection with Devontae Adams. I think his catch percentage was like 51% or something.
Well,
like
he had a decent game, Devontae.
No, but he did this game. But prior to this game, it's almost like Aaron's ready to throw the ball and his receivers aren't.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so the timing, for whatever, it's not right. And it should have been, especially given the familiarity that they have with one another. That, to me, is the biggest issue with Aaron Rodgers and his receiving corps. It's why Breece Hall has 300, or now he has almost 400 yards receiving, because he ends up just being the safety net. Like, all right, you're not ready. I'm just going to chuck it down to Breece Hall.
You know, a couple things. First of all, and you said this during the broadcast. I think it was you. Breece Hall said he has never the primary receiver on a play. I believe you guys, it was one of you guys.
Yeah, I think Jason said that.
I mean, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
He's never the primary. I mean, can we throw the guy a screen pass every now and then?
Well, other than the screens, he's talking about, you know, because he has, I got to look at the exact
number.
He's
got Marshall Faulk ability as a receiver.
No doubt. I got to look at the number of receiving yards that he has. He's got 400 receiving yards. I think it's first or second in the league for running backs. Alvin Kamara is the only one.
Right.
And, I mean, 47 catches, I'd probably say 38 of them are just checkdowns.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. What, a touchdown was a checkdown yesterday.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And so, like, nothing is ever on schedule with this offense. That's why it's frustrating to watch. Nothing, it seems, Aaron Rodgers gets back to his last, you know, drop spot, and the ball's coming out, receivers on time, ball's on time, you know, good play. You're not seeing that. It feels all improvised.
Well, you know what else, too, watching the game yesterday, and this is very frustrating to me as well. The Colts receivers are open all over the place. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you're watching these guys come wide open, you know, for Richardson to throw the ball to, and it just seems like our guys are never open.
Never.
You know what, right?
Yeah.
And you saw it, like, immediately on that opening drive where the Colts kicked that field goal. They had a third down right out of the gate.
Yeah.
So the Jet defense had a chance, three and out. And Josh Downs was so wide open. There was no one near him. We saw it with Alec Pierce late in the game, too.
Yeah, well, that was
there were so many examples where Colt receivers were just completely wide open. And you're right, you never see that with the Jets right now.
Never. I mean, these guys always seem like they're covered. And like Tiki pointed out, how many times have I seen, especially with Adams, you know, Rodgers is throwing the ball this way and Adams is going the other way. I mean, we see this seemingly constantly. But, I don't know what to think. I mean, this is still better quarterback play than I've seen probably since the big year that Fitzpatrick had 9 years ago.
So you're right, but here's the problem. Like, I can't deny that, but I think that says more about how god-awful the quarterback play of our franchise has been. Because if you look at his numbers, he is, and really just evaluate him, he's been middle of the pack, if not worse, compared to every other quarterback in this league.
Yeah.
So he hasn't. Well, that's not good enough. Like, it's better than Zach Wilson. Great. I mean, okay.
Yeah.
But he's not good enough.
Look, I look at this season. The kicking game has killed us, has cost us probably three games.
Yep.
Certainly two. The defense has cost us two games, yesterday's game and the Patriot game, the second one, obviously. So that's, you know, four games. Let's just say four games right there that I can't pin on a quarterback.
I mean, I'm sorry.
I mean, I just can't. You know what?
How many times, and you could even include yesterday's game, I know it's only 46 seconds, is the ball in his hands with a chance for him to erase all of those mistakes and win anyway?
Yeah, I understand that. I get it. But, you know, look, he was in a tough spot. They had no timeouts. The timeout, this is the other thing. The timeout that Obrey called before the field goal. You know, if he called timeout there and went for it, you know, if you call timeout there to come up with a play that we're going to go for it now and try to win this game right here, I'm good with the timeout.
Yeah, but and why not? You know what I mean?
Right.
What do you have to lose? You're 3-7.
That's what I mean. Of course. But when you call timeout because you want to preserve 5 yards for the kicker who just made a 58-yarder, okay, whatever it was, I mean, what are you doing? Look, Ulbrich is not a head coach. We know that. He's way over. What Woody should have done, well, he shouldn't have fired Sal. I mean, we look at hindsight, that was a major mistake. But what he should have done is something similar to what they've done in New Orleans. Don't make your defensive coordinator the head coach. Make a lower-level assistant the head coach. And don't mess with your defense, right? I mean, seriously.
Yes, yes.
Right?
That would have been the better option. The only thing I'm also wondering about with Robert Saleh, to credit him, as much as we killed him and I definitely killed him, is maybe he was that involved in the defense. Maybe even if they did do that, where they promoted Boyer or Nate or whomever, maybe the defense would have been affected anyway because Saleh was that valuable and we just didn't realize it.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah. I'm trying to think of the – because most teams do exactly what you just said, Joe. It's a lower-level assistant.
Yeah.
Think about the Raiders. It was Rich Bisaccia who was –
Not
lower level, but you know what I mean. He's
special
a
teams.
Then think about last year with Antonio Pierce. He was a linebacker coach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It wasn't like he was the DC.
Right.
So I think you're right. Most teams, if they're going to fire their coach midseason, it's not a coordinator who they throw into that role.
Yeah. So I know. It was a big mistake. Now, I talked to Evan earlier today, okay? And the more I've thought about this as far as the head coach going forward, okay? And let me just say, I want Rodgers back. I said this already. Bring him back. Who's the quarterback next year? He's how much money, dead cap money, if you let him go?
Right.
And I want to draft a young quarterback. And I'll take a shot again next year for one more time. Obviously, it's going to be a new regime. But I talked to Evan about this. And here's the guy. Evan, you said it. As the more I think about it, okay, you know I want to see Rex. I've said I want Rex.
Yep.
But the more I think about it, the guy who I want coaching his team, and you and I talked about it today, is Brian Flores.
I'm telling you, that's the guy.
I want him.
Yep.
He did a great job in Miami. He got hosed for this clown, McDaniel. I mean, come on.
Right.
I mean, he's the weirdest guy I've ever seen coaching an NFL team.
But he's got a good offensive brain, but I hear you.
Okay. he does. Fine. All right. But they let this guy go. They hose him. He's suing the league. This guy, to me, is a mini Mike Tomlin. Okay?
Well, I think
he's no nonsense.
And he went and worked there. He went and worked under Mike Tomlin.
He worked with Mike for a year, yeah.
Oh, did he?
Right after all that craziness happened, he went and worked for Mike
Tomlin.
That's
the guy I want.
And then he went to Minnesota.
Right.
And the thing that I think, the reason why I think he'd be great is because the strength of this team is still the defense.
Right.
They're not playing well right now, but it's still the strength of the team. I can only imagine how more, I don't want to say intelligent because it's the wrong word. Let's call it football IQ. How much greater the football IQ of guys like Sauce, DJ, like some of these young players will be with him as your defensive coordinator, right? The things that they do in Minnesota is so complex, but they execute it like perfectly most of the time. And so much of that is on teaching. I think he's a good teacher. Now, he might have been an ass.
Well,
this team needs an ass.
I'm talking about the Tua Tagovailoa.
Right. Yeah.
But
we need an ass coaching.
You need that guy.
We do.
Right?
He's actually. But now the key is, and I love Brian Flores, especially a New York guy too. He's a New Yorker.
Right.
He gets it.
Yeah.
He's going to understand us. He's got a bone to pick with the Giants and the Dolphins, which I also like.
Well, he's got a chip on his shoulder for the whole league.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's got something to prove coming back to be a head coach.
Let's just
be honest.
He just has to find the right offensive mind with him because whether it's developing Jordan Travis or someone that they draft, or even if it's Rodgers, it's only a year, let's be honest.
Right.
They need that guy who's not going to screw up a young quarterback like we've unfortunately had for years. But I think Brian Flores, he's the perfect guy.
Yeah, I'm with you
100%. I think he'd want the job, too. I think he'd want this opportunity.
The more I thought about it, I think he's the perfect guy. Now, the one thing, who's the GM?
Wow.
Because, you know, you can't bring Douglas back. And, you know, look, we've seen mistakes before when you bring in a head coach and you don't have the general manager yet.
Right.
You know, so that's a big problem. You know, I don't know, where do we go for the GM? I don't think Douglas is coming back. I mean, I don't see how he can.
Yeah, a couple things from this game. We're talking to Joe B in his weekly spot, Jets lose to the Colts. Were you in favor of going for two when they went up seven? That's kind of like a new age analytic thought, but Rodgers was signaling it.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Jets decided to kick the extra point. It turned out to not make a big difference because then the Colts went for two and they failed. But in the moment, did you like the idea of going for two to try to make it a two-score game?
I didn't have a great problem with not going for two. My big problem was not going for it on fourth and two in the fourth quarter. That was the big problem. I didn't have a problem going for two. You know, they still were going to be up eight. You know, they still needed a 2-point conversion. But, you know, after they walked down the field like they did to score, I think it was like five plays they were in the end zone.
Yeah.
It didn't take them long. You know, that's when I said, man, we cannot allow this team to where a champ, you know, they can win the game. Look, it wouldn't have mattered either way. They would have needed a field goal. We didn't get the first down. But at least you got to go for it there. You're 3-7.
So here's the key question. They went for it earlier in the game on that fourth and short.
And didn't get it, that stupid play with Conklin.
Right.
The direct By the way, stop. It was very funny. By the way, give McCourty credit for taking a shot at the play with Conklin, as it said. They're not going to give – I think it was the situation with the Colts where they're not going to give it to Conklin at tight end.
Right. Yeah, he took
it. I thought that was funny.
And Tiki pointed that out when he did that.
Right. How often has he done that in his life?
Oh, never.
Right. Never.
Right.
What play call, if they go for it on fourth and two from the 17, would you have wanted?
What would play call would I want?
Because that's the second thing we would have
Here's what I want.
Yeah.
I would take a shot with the bootleg by Rodgers.
Mm.
Get him out of the pocket. You know, immediately get him out of the pocket and, you know, get somebody in the end zone. Get it out to somebody. I mean, that play he had for the touchdown with Yeboah was beautiful, right?
Yeah.
That was a nice play. I mean, have something like that. I wouldn't have run it up the middle. I don't think they would have got it. They never get it when they run for it on fourth.
Nah, they'd be brutal with that.
They would have had to throw it. But still, even with whatever the play call was, the play, they had to go for it there. They had to. As far as I was concerned.
Where do you think this season's going? Do you think they're going to win a few games? Do you think they're going to crawl up and lose more as this plays out?
Well, I mean, I don't think they're going to be. I mean, there's so many bad teams in the league. I mean, you look at the teams that are below them. I mean, God. They're going to win a couple more. They'll find a way to win a few more games. I'll be surprised if they don't. I think they'll win like six. I think they'll go 3-3 the last six games, and it'll be just bad enough or just good enough to get them like the 10th or 11th pick in the draft. You know, something. No, but I mean, look, that doesn't mean you can't find the quarterback there. I mean, I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, it is what it is.
Well, one idea I had, I mentioned this to Tiki last week, and obviously it's got to be the right quarterback, is I would use Sauce Gardner as a chip to try to trade up.
Mm.
Like, I would, especially if it's Jacksonville picking number one and they want to keep Trevor Lawrence and they're just going for it and they're retooling. Sauce and my first to trade up to own this draft and maybe get the quarterback of the future, because I think that's an enticing piece that no other team could really offer. A cornerback who's not making big money yet, who's a borderline star.
Well, I think it depends who the coach is. I mean, if you bring a guy, let's say you bring Flores in or you bring Rex in, okay? Those guys might say, wait a minute. You know, I can fix this guy and get him back to being the player that, you know, he was his rookie year, or certainly the player he can be. See, I think if you get – I'm not against what you're saying.
Right.
But I think if you get the right guy in there, like I said, a guy like Rex, a guy like Flores, who are defensive guys, they may say, hey, wait a minute, I'm going to fix this guy. So I'm not against it, but I think if you get the right coach in there, he might have that feeling like, you know, hey, I'm not going to – I can – maybe I can really turn this guy into the cornerback we'd like to see him be.
Yeah. Well, we know what he's capable of doing. He's just had a terrible year. That's the problem.
Year.
Even yesterday, it wasn't the tackling. It was leaving guys wide open. That was the issue.
Well, he got beat. Remember, on the first touchdown by the Colts, he got beat on the play that went down to the 1 yard line, and then he missed a tackle. The guy beat him, and then he missed a tackle at about the 10 yard line, and the guy went to the 1 yard line. They scored on the next play on a run.
Unbelievable. Well, the good news is we can't lose next weekend, so that's a positive.
And please, can they stop being... Why are they favored in these games?
I mean,
you make a fortune. I mean, you would if you bet against the Jets every week, you could retire now. And the other thing is, too, and this is a memo to everybody out there that bets, okay? Mm-hmm. Anytime you get the Pittsburgh Steelers getting points anywhere... But getting points at home, you have to take them.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that was the lock of the week. Even though I didn't score a touchdown yesterday, 6 field goals. Mike Tomlin's the best coach in the league. I'm sorry. All due respect to Andy Reid and Sean McVay and Shanahan, you know, and Jim Harbaugh and even, you know, and even John Harbaugh and Jim Harbaugh. The best coach in the league is Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, week to week. He hasn't had the quarterback to win a championship.
Well, now, you know what? But now he's got Russell Wilson. He's got Russell Wilson playing like it was 2014, T.
I know. He's playing inside of himself.
He's
not letting him be rogue and try to be a...
Right.
You don't need to win the MVP, Russell Wilson. You just need to win games.
Right.
Period.
Right.
All this talk about Buffalo getting the number one seed now because they beat Kansas City. The Steelers have a legitimate shot at it. And they're playing the Chiefs on Christmas in Pittsburgh, Week 17.
And isn't that isn't that like a prime game?
That's a Netflix game.
Oh man, that's what it is. Netflix.
Yeah, after the Mike Tyson thing.
Did you watch the Mike Tyson thing, Joe?
Look, I am a big boxing guy.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. I was Muhammad Ali when I was growing up. Teak Muhammad's one of my guys. Yep. Loved Muhammad.
Oh,
okay?
You're lucky, man.
The night he lost to Joe Frazier in March 8th of 1971, the greatest fight that in the history of mankind, as far as I'm concerned, better than the thrill in Manila because they were younger, and it just was. It was even though we lost, even though Muhammad lost, best fight I ever saw. I watched it in Paramus at one of the big theaters here when I was 16, 17 years old, and I was like the only guy in the place rooting for Ali. It wasn't a lot. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
Yep.
All right. But so I was fortunate enough to see Muhammad. I was, the era of Ray Leonard, a big Ray Leonard guy, and Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns, and Roberto Duran, right on through Tyson, right up until the night Tyson got beat by Buster Douglas.
Right, in Japan.
Right, in 1991, when he lost that fight. And there was still some decent fights after that, Riddick Bowe and Holyfield. Holyfield had that fight with George Foreman. It was still, Lennox Lewis. There was some fights with him weren't bad.
Mm.
But that was kind of the end. When Douglas took out Mike, that kind of was the end of me with boxing. So, but I was a big boxing guy, but there was no way. A 58-year-old Mike Tyson against this guy that's 27 years old?
Yeah.
What do you think you're getting?
But Joe, he could have beat his ass, man. He really could have.
You're talking about, what's his name, James? What was the guy's name?
Jake Paul.
Jake Paul.
Jake Paul.
Like,
that's it. Sorry.
He didn't counter at all.
He didn't want to hurt him.
Exactly right. He wanted to cash in on the $20 million, take care of his family, and call it a day.
Well, it's a good thing you missed it. It was boring as all hell.
By the way, watching it, Joe, and about, around two rounds in, the little wheel of death started. And so we were like, all right, it'll come back. We fell asleep.
What do you mean the wheel of death?
He doesn't know what the wheel of death is. So you got to explain it to him.
Basically, when your internet goes out and it just starts spinning.
I see.
Everything freezes.
Right.
So we kind of like, it'll come back in a second. We fell asleep. We woke up the next one. It was still spinning.
That's unbelievable.
Are you serious?
It was bad.
Imagine watching Chiefs against the Steelers and that's happening as the game starts.
No, I wouldn't be happy about that.
Apparently, you had to reset. Like, you had to log out and then reset it
to get it
to come back. So Netflix kind of failed that.
Yeah, it was not a good night for Netflix.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly the thrill in Manila.
Certainly wasn't. Thank you, Joe. Good talking to you, man.
All right, guys. All the love. Be well.
Great.
In a couple weeks.
You got it. The great Joe Beningo after a Jet loss, and we are now unified. I spoke to him earlier this morning about it.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it.
The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.